How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
All right, our subject has been training in reigning. There's a subject right there, training in reigning. And there's a reason why we entertain this subject. So let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Because this is a really important question. What is man? And why don't you put your name in there instead of the word man? What is David? What is Judith? What is Mike? What is Christy? What are you? What am I that you, God, are mindful of him? What are we that God would even think about us? And what are we, sons of men, that you would visit us? That why would you come to this planet personally? Like, what is it about us that makes you interested enough to come here and visit with us? What is it about us, God, that would cause you to think about us? Oh, some big questions there. And this scripture gives the answer. You have made man a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him. God's view of man is much different than ours. You have crowned him with glory and honor. And look at this. You have made, put your name in there, to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and you have put all things under our feet. God's view of you is the most important viewpoint you can ever come to understand. Because if you haven't got the right ideas about yourself, you need to get the right ideas. You can have a false idea. You can have a wrong idea. You can underestimate what you are, which is probably what you do. And many people who underestimate themselves then do go through this artificial mechanism of arrogance and make themselves artificially into something because they don't think they're very much. And people live in the gamut all the way in between. But what you think about yourself is very critical. It will determine how you treat other people. It will also determine how other people treat you. Now, here is the bottom line. You are either being ruled or you are ruling. One of the two. This verse said, "Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor." You've put all things under his feet. You've put him to have dominion over all the works of your hands. And every single person is either ruled or ruling. The stuff of life is either on top of you or you are on top of the stuff of life. That's why this scripture says that through the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, we are to reign or rule in life by one, rule in life by one Christ Jesus. We're supposed to be on top of stuff and not under it, above and not beneath. Now, let's look at, here's the scripture. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, now watch this, shall reign in life, look at that, by one Jesus Christ. God intends that you conquer, win, rule, reign. He intends that there be none of the works of his hands over your head, on top of you, pressing down. And that everything about your life is under proper control. Under your control. Because you have been given a jurisdiction. And God wants you to rule over that jurisdiction. So, here's how we got there. Number one, we've learned this. We have received an abundance of grace. I mean, all the ability from God to live in this condition has been provided for us. Now, you know, most of us weren't in that condition. That's why grace comes, to change the picture, to change the thoughts about yourself that were not good to the thoughts about yourself that are good, to change your ideas and to change your position from losing to winning, from being under to being over. And this happens by the abundance of grace. And secondly, by receiving the gift of righteousness. And we have taught on these already, so I'm only mentioning them here this morning. And so the third thing, this causes us to reign. And we don't do it alone. We do it by Jesus Christ. And then we learned last week that because of this, we live by what's called in Scripture the royal law. We learned last week what the royal law was. Here's the Scripture. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. So this royal law has become the way, the guiding principle for everything that we say, do, think, or and here's what we learned last week about the royal law. We learned to treat everyone the same. This is part of the royal law. Look at the Scripture. If ye fulfill the royal law, and that is, what is the royal law? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now watch this. But if you have respect to persons, so if you only love some and don't love others, Jesus comes along and says, You aren't any different than the sinners, because they love those that love them and they hate those that hate them. What makes you any different? And Jesus is saying, hey, this royal law is something that everybody gets from us. We love every single person the same. And then we learn that we also love everyone the way we treat everyone to be treated. Now watch the Scripture. Thou shalt love thy neighbor, now watch this, as thyself. In other words, how you would like to be treated is how we should treat every neighbor. Everybody we come into contact is in our neighborhood, okay? And so we treat everyone the way we wish to be treated. And then lastly, we learn that we treat everyone lovingly, full time, all the time. Now, that's what we learned last Sunday morning. And what we want to do today is go on to understand not the aspects of the royal law, but now we want to understand the... I forgot the word I'm using. Attributes. Now, this is a little saying we picked up when we were on vacation. Learning to love in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. That's the effect of the royal law. But today, we want to learn the attributes of ruling. So here we go. Number one. First of all, in order to rule, we must be ruled. That's why becoming a Christian is a strict matter of coming under the lordship, the rulership of Jesus Christ. The management, if you please, of Jesus Christ. And we know that so well here, and I'm not going to take time to reiterate except to show you a couple of verses. For the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. And so when we use the term King of Kings, we are the kings over which he is the king. You follow that? Unto him that loved us, washed us from our sin in his own blood, and hath made us kings And that's it. You see, you are royalty. Maybe you've never discovered the fact that you are royalty, that you were not made to be beneath, but to be above. And so he is the king of the kings, and you are the kings over which he is the king. You are the royalty, you're part. After all, how'd you get into this kingdom? You got born. You got to know who your father is. Your father is the king. And that's why you're a king, is because your father is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Got to slow down here just for a moment. It is critically important to know who your father is. Now, it's true that we have a father on this planet who, with our mother, caused a baby to be coming. But it didn't make you. People don't make people. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We can make babies, but God is the one who puts the person inside the baby. That's why the scripture calls him the father of spirits, because you're a spirit. He made the you, and he put you inside the baby that was in your mother's womb. And he could have put you inside of any mother that was pregnant all over the planet, but he chose the particular mother that you got. He said, I'm going to put in your name, going to put you there. God chose your parents for you because he's really your father. He created the real you, put you in a human body. So he rules over all. The Lord shall, now this is kind of neat. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. And look at this. And you will rule in the midst of your enemies. Now, I want to say one brief thing here. No matter how tough it looks around us, I want you to get this straight. God doesn't intend us to be down because of the news or under the circumstances, whether it be wars and rumors of wars or pestilence or earthquakes or whether the sun should turn red or if the stars fell from the sky would make no difference with us because we are much more secure. And with all of the enemies that's going on in the United States and around the world, in the midst of all our enemies, we rule. And we're able to rule, first of all, because we're under the ruler. Secondly, we must learn to rule our own spirits. First of all, we're under Christ's rule. And then secondly, we must rule our own spirits. Look at the scripture with me. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. In ancient times, all cities were surrounded by walls. Keep the enemy out. You had to get permission to come through the gate. And there were gatekeepers. This scripture says that if a person doesn't rule their own spirit, they're like a city where the walls are down and any enemy can come in and do anything he or she wants to do. Important question for you today. Are you ruling your own spirit? Because this is one of the attributes of reigning. One must master his own self, or he will be mastered by others. Have you got that? God wants you to rule your own spirit. He wants you in charge. Because if we do not rule our own spirits, we're like a broken city. No, it's not working right. Nothing's going the right And we're vulnerable to anybody because there's nothing to keep them out because we don't rule our own spirits. Now, listen really closely because we're going to get this in a minute more clearly, but don't miss it now. To rule your own spirit means to be responsible for what's in your spirit. Let's look at another verse. Oh, guess what? I'm ahead of myself here. To rule your own spirit means that we assume full responsibility for our spiritual condition. Can't blame anybody else. Can't blame our past. Can't blame our parents. We rule our own spirit. We control what gets in our spirit. Let's look at another verse. He that is slow of anger, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Watch now, watch this. He that ruleth his spirit is better than he that is able to conquer a city. The Anger Resolution Seminar starts Friday, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, right here, and all day Saturday. And I want to recommend it to everybody. This is Bill Gothard Institute Anger Resolution Seminar. Everybody should take it. Because anger is one of the big issues of the day. Now watch this. Anger is an indication that we have not ruled our spirit. Anger is an indication that somebody's, plural or singular, have so affected and infected and penetrated us like the city with the broken down walls that we are provoked to reactions that if we were in control of our spirit, we would not make. Are you all following this now? The problem of anger comes as evidence, rather, of an unruled spirit. And now we have anger operating inside of us, and we aren't in control. Very nasty condition to be in. Look at the scripture once more. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that rules his spirit is better than he that is able to conquer a whole city. If we do not rule our own spirits, then we are doomed to spend the rest of our days on this planet being ruled instead of ruling. Something else is in control of us. We are under it. We think about it. We're nervous. We sweat it. Why? Because our own spirit is not ruled. What we do is we rule our own spirits. Let's do a couple of illustrations of this. Bitterness either rules us, or we rule it. This is a ruled person. And what is the substance of this? What was the evidence of the bitterness? Anger? Um, retaliation. We speak back and reviling. We revile. Well, we'll talk about that next Sunday morning. We do acts of getting even, whether it be you start a cold war or a red hot one. Because this thing rules us. That's why the scripture says the discretion of a man defers his anger, puts anger off. And look at this. And it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Yeah. So, I want to look at this other scripture. The reason I bring up bitterness is because those of you who have been to the Basic Institute, you understand that there are three root problems. Everybody remember that? The three root problems? Found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, 15. Here's what the scripture says. We are to follow peace with all men. And holiness towards everybody. And without this, we won't see the Lord. This is a pretty serious text. Towards everybody. Peace with all. Put names in there. Father, mother, son, daughter, spouse, uncle, aunt, neighbor. And we are to follow not only peace with them, but holiness. We are to treat them in a holy way. And if we don't this, we won't see the Lord. Pretty strong. Now watch this. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Remember, we rule by abundance of grace. Now watch this, because the first problem here, lest any root of bitterness spring up, it will trouble you, and thereby many will be defiled. Bitterness springs up, it troubles you, and it defiles everybody around you. This is a terrible enemy. Bitterness. Note the three things. Let me quote it in Phillips' translation. Be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace of God. For if he does, there can very easily spring up in him a root of bitterness, which will not only trouble you, but will defile many. So, if we don't respond to God's grace, which is what enables us to rule, right? Bitterness gets on top of us. But instead, God wants us to rule in such a way as this thing does not get inside us. In order to prevent bitterness from getting inside your spirit, one must learn to rule his own spirit, no matter what everybody does around you. Look at the second thing. Many be defiled, unless there be a fornicator. Here we have sexual sins. And lust will either dominate a person, or we will dominate it. You see, it's one of the works of God's hands. Not lust, but marital love. It's his idea. And he wants you to be over the works of his hands. He doesn't want the works of his hands over you. And so we are either ruled or we are ruling by bitterness, by lust. And thirdly, it talks about Esau, who sold his birthright for a mess of pottage and was so driven by greed. And he became ruled by that, made a stupid decision, which he tried to undo later, and he couldn't undo it. It was too late, because he was ruled by his greed. And though he repented with tears, it was too late. The decision was made. God wants us not to be ruled by anybody, any place, anything, any devil, any demon. And it's because we are, first of all, ruled by Christ, and secondly, we learn to rule our own spirits. We rule our own spirits. And that means no anger, no lust, no greed. Thirdly, we rule by wisdom. No, I forgot to start that software. Well, that's good. It'll help us. This is wisdom speaking, by the way. And here's what wisdom is saying. Wisdom says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. Now watch this. By me, kings reign. By me, princes rule. And so, to rule in life, we must first be ruled. We must rule our own spirits. And then we must rule in wisdom. Wisdom is being able to see and understand everything that's taking place around me from God's point of view. And I want to suggest to you, I don't think I put it in your notes either. This is Proverbs 8, but you need to read the rest of that chapter, and it will absolutely excite you about the benefits of wisdom and how ruling by wisdom, or how wisdom, rather, enables us to rule. It's wisdom. By wisdom, kings reign. And if they don't use wisdom, they'll lose their position. And princes rule. So we rule by wisdom. And then another attribute of ruling is to be diligent. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, shall stay in control, shall be able to hold the reins. Diligence. It is not enough to, like a flash in the pan, be all excited about ruling one moment and then under the next. We must not only be under the one who rules us, we must not only rule our own spirits, and we must not only rule by wisdom, but we must diligently do it all the time. And we diligently, consistently, persistently use our energies to apply wisdom in the rulership that God. On the other hand, the opposite to being diligent is slothful, and he shall be under penalty, and there will be penalties if we don't diligently stay in the reigning position. That's why the scripture says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Watch here. Watch the screen just for a second. The reason why we do everything diligently is because we do it as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve Christ. And then number five, in ruling, attributes of rulership, we must be ruled. We must rule our own spirits. We must rule by wisdom and do so diligently. And then next, we get to rule in our own families and in our own homes and houses. Now, a person cannot rule in his household if he hasn't ruled in his own spirit. Everybody get that? Really important. I must first be conquered. I must conquer this self before I can bring deliverance and conquering and leadership to others. So a man must rule his own spirit before he can rule in his house. You show me a man who hasn't been able to rule his own spirit, I'll show you a man who is literally wasting his wife and his children. Damage, 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 because his spirit hasn't been, his own spirit has not been ruled. Do y'all follow this? Are you all with me here? Right. Now, (clears throat) We are ruled by Christ. Now watch this. When this is talking about deacons, I'll switch you in a minute here. They must rule their children and their own houses well. Now, everybody, the Bible says that you should desire to be a deacon. You may not be positioned in a church as a deacon, but you should desire to be so. Everybody should be qualified as if they were deacons. And we must rule our houses. The house needs a set of guidelines. It must, the household must not be left to wander any which way it wants to. Hello. The people in the household must not be allowed just to wander any which way they want to. They must have wonderful, loving leadership, rulership, reigning. And fathers, husbands, are responsible for this in their home. Let's look at another verse. This is the tragic description from the book of Isaiah of a home or houses or a nation where... Hey, let me stop here for a minute. Did you know that this is the most fatherless nation that has ever existed in the world in all of history? America needs to be vitally concerned about its immediate future, because our laws have been, well, the court says he has a right to be happy, so he can go off and do his own thing. Wrong. Court says she has a right to be happy, and they have assumed that this happiness takes precedent over every moral responsibility. So children get abandoned. We are lacking father roles in mass from one border to the other and from one ocean to the other in this country. It's the most fatherless nation that has ever existed in the world. That's why, as you heard Christopher a few moments ago, there are some critical issues in government. We already know what happens to a nation who legalizes sodomite marriages, same-sex marriage. We already know. All you got to do is look to the Netherlands to see. And you know what happened in the Netherlands? Marriage decreased by 80%. People stopped getting married. And the same countries now have euthanasia of children. Up to the age of 6 months, you can, 12 years of age. 12 years of age in the Netherlands, you can kill a child. Legally. The law says so. Because you can't support it. You can't. It has a medical issue, or they've got a whole lot of legal excuses. But let me tell you something. You create a legal excuse, nobody's there to police whether that's the real reason or not for the killing. The world's in great trouble, but part of this relates to the runaway fathers. Now watch this. Here's what happens to a nation. Are you ready? You could take this passage out of Isaiah and superimpose it on America. Look at what it says. I will give children to be their, same word as rulers. Babes shall rule over them. Babes shall rule. The people shall be oppressed. Every one by another one, and every one by his neighbor. Now watch this. And the child shall behave himself proudly against the older people, against older people, like me, that are called the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Look at this next verse. And even as for my people, children will become their oppressors, and women will rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee astray, lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the ways of thy paths. Watch this. They which lead thee, that's government, that's church leaders, they're causing the people to err. And what is the result? Children will oppress them, and women will rule over them. And the role of man will become extinct. That's why the scripture says, for example, an elder, he must be one that rules well his own house and have his children in subjection with all seriousness. And so, ruling and reigning in life means, first of all, we must be ruled by Christ. We must rule our own spirits. Then we rule by wisdom, and we do so diligently. Then we get to rule our households, our children, properly. And number six, we then get to rule in the workplace. Now, I want to show you an interesting thing about the scripture that's been in front of you. One that rules well his own household, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Now watch this. For if a man doesn't know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Now, ready. This is talking about an elder. That is somebody who works. His job, his vocation, his task is the house of God. So, if he doesn't rule his own house, how can he rule in his job place, which is the house of God? Now watch this, because I'm going to put an interesting twist to it. And I'm going to let you fill in the blank. I think I put this in your notes. If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how can he take care of... Now what you do here is you write in your business right there, the name of your business, or your job. In the same way in which a man cannot rule his household if he doesn't rule his own spirit, how can he rule in the best place of business if he hasn't ruled his own house? In other words, this wonderful training in reigning is far-reaching. It goes from personal strength to using that strength lovingly, diligently, and wisely with our wives and with our children and our households. And then it extends to the place business. These are the attributes of what we talk about when we talk about ruling. So, in this case, the workplace happens to be the house of God, because that's what an elder does. But understand that we must first be ruled up here. And then we must rule our own spirits. Then we can rule. Can you imagine what happens in a family if the husband is trying to be the leader and he hasn't been able to rule his own spirit? Because a person who doesn't rule their own spirit is out of control. Anger, bitterness, lust, whatever it is. They are on top of him, and he's in bondage. And Jesus, this is the great news about Jesus. Jesus comes to set a man and a woman free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Free. Nothing on top of you. No provocation. No out of control. No anger, hate, lust. No bitterness. Because, listen to this, we are more than, anybody know the next word? Conquerors. Through him, the one that's ruling us, and loved us, we are more than conquerors. We are to conquer every aspect of life and have it under control. And not be under the control of other stuff. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Oh, Jesus. Comes to set you free. So no stuff. You name it. Not other people, not other ideas, not notions, not feelings, not emotions, not anger, not passions. Nothing shall trump you. You, through him, are more than a conqueror. We reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, we rule our own spirits. We rule in wisdom. We rule diligently. We rule in our own households. And our rule isn't ugly. People will long to be under your rule. I think this is why so many people are wrong about God. They think that God thinks that people are nothings and nobodies. But in fact, let me tell you something. If you have a king over a kingdom, the greatest thing about the king, the greatness of the king is directly proportional to the greatness of the subjects. You don't want a king who rules over an obnoxious mess. He's not much of a king. But see, our king wants to rule over kings, queens, princesses, princes. He wants, see, that's why Jesus came here. Not just to turn us into ladies and gentlemen. Certainly that. But he came to turn us into kings and queens who live in such a way that the King of the Kings is even more glorified. You see, listen to this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? But notice, see, we ought to always focus on the sin in that sentence instead of the phrase, the glory of God. We've sinned and we have come short of the glory. Now, he's come to redeem us to get rid of the sin so that what? We are the glory of God. It's back to that illustration that you don't call Michelangelo a great artist because he does lousy artwork. The greater the artwork, the greater must be the artist. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, Jesus Christ comes into our hearts to rule, not in some tyrannical, demeaning way, but in such a manner of royalty and dignity and esteem as to lift you to the loftiest. So that your life is not about trying to cut out some meager existence.
but that you have instead received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and you reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So, you're ruled, not in a tyrannical way, but oh, has anyone been ruled by love before? So he comes to rule us by love. It's the royal law. And then we rule our own spirits. We're never personally out of control, ever. We are ruling our spirits. We don't let any stuff in our spirits that would demean. We don't let any stuff in our spirits that would make us mean. We don't let any stuff in our spirits that would dirty us. We don't let any stuff in our spirits that would contaminate, because we rule. We assume the responsibility of our spirit. And when the scripture talks about filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, that doesn't apply to us, because we don't let filthiness get in our spirit, because we rule our spirits. We rule by wisdom. The full book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and all the pages of the Bible that jam and cram us with smarts. And we do it diligently. And then, because we are under control, ruling, we can extend it to our household, to our wife, to our husband, to our children. Gracious rulership. And then it carries over to the job. I believe that a Christian ought to get more promotions than a non-Christian. Not because of religious bigotry, but because God has built into us such royalty and dignity and esteemability and social grace and characteristics of himself. They make you float to the top. There's one more element, one more attribute of ruling. I think I put a number 7 in your notes, didn't I? Let me tell you what number 7 is. And next Sunday morning is mostly going to be about number 7. Number 7. An attribute of royalty. Attribute of divinity. An attribute of ruling. And it's, no, I didn't even put it in my notes. It's not on my notes, so I just have to tell you what it is. Here it is, one word. We honor everyone. Scripture for that is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. I probably should have somebody check the reference. Front row, I got a great helper here, don't I? You see, in this kingdom, there are no put-downs. In this kingdom, there is no disdain. In this kingdom, there is no mockery. In this kingdom, there is no reviling, shaming, embarrassing. In this kingdom, functions. Remember the royal law. Love your neighbors yourself. Honor all men. That's what the scripture says. I got the right reference? 2:17. Try 2:17. I want to give you the right reference. 2:17. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men. And that's not a gender statement includes women. Man, that's talking about mankind. And this kingdom, this is going to be so wonderful, because next week, that's what we're going to learn about. Because this is how we rule. Every one of our subjects, everybody around us, we give honor to them. You say, well, David, some people are not very honorable. How many here have ever met somebody that wasn't very honorable? So, yeah, the rest of you are afraid to lay your hands. Yeah. Your neighbor might think you're thinking of him or something, huh? You know, let me tell you what Scripture says. Do you know what Scripture says? On the less honorable, we bestow, anybody know the rest of it? More abundant honor. That's why we fight differently as a nation. That's why the terrorists can break all the rules of warfare, the Geneva Convention. They can hide behind civilians. They can break all the rules of war. But we can't. That's, you know, you would think that when Abu Ghraib happened, we could have said, well, look at all that they've done. We just did this. We don't get to do that. Because our nation was built on the kind of principles we're talking about in the kingdom of God. And just because the bad guys, just beside the enemy, treats us the wrong way, we even treat our enemies with honor. And this will be the great lesson of next Sunday morning. How to honor. And it isn't easy. But you know what? It's absolutely necessary. And it's an attribute. So if your training and reigning is going to be complete, it must include learning to honor. That's why we take a stand against killing babies, killing unborn. It's so far beneath what man should really be like.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.